Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray the chaplet. We'll pray for you. You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here. I've been trying to open a folder that I have of all these answered prayers, right? And I've got tons of them in there. I don't share them every day. Sometimes they begin to accumulate. And some are small. Some are big, from kidney transplants to, you know, financial blessings. And Maggie and I were having this discussion before the show. We've got a segment coming up in about an hour. We're going to take a look at whether or not ChatGPT, whether or not AI can be influenced by the demonic. And true story for you, because I can't open these answered prayers. I wanted to share all these different emails that I was reading through last night with you. For some reason, this computer, which was fine a moment ago, has just totally slowed down. I mean, it just, the windows won't open. The program keeps crashing. And I do believe that sometimes when you do the work of God, maybe somebody needs to hear how God is working in lives, how impossible things are becoming possible, how God can heal or return or bless or multiply. Satan doesn't want that. And when I was working years ago on this documentary, Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century, I had a music composer. He lived in Alabama. The guy was brilliant, right? And this was an anointed work. It was a film that would go on to be translated into 14 different languages and broadcast, you know, globally. I look back at it now. If you ever see it, it's 30 years old. The animation at the time was cutting edge, and now it looks like a child did the animation. You know, so I kind of hate that. But it was a story about the importance of Our Lady and her message at this particular time, and this call to prayer, conversion, repentance, return to Christ, right? The gospel message, the message of John the Baptist. Well, he was driving to the studio to do some work on the musical score. When I was living in Pennsylvania, and I was heading to the edit bay where we were going to do another cut on the program. Both of us on the same day were hit by trucks in our car. I remember I was coming down a road in a truck ran this light and careened into me and destroyed my car. But somehow, some way, I walked out unscathed, right? Same thing happened to him, right? And I thought, okay, coincidence. Well, he was working on scoring the programming, and, you know, his equipment caught on fire. Literally, it erupted into flames. So, you know, is it a coincidence? And there were a lot of these different instances, like the time I was doing work with the Marians of the Immaculate Conception in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, during the Year of Mercy. I had produced for them, I don't know, 15 different little vignettes or something on mercy. And we had a teleprompter. And the way a teleprompter works, whatever's on your computer screen, your laptop that drives the program, let's say God is a merciful Father who loves you and wants to shower you in his mercy. Say that's the line. Well, when that line would roll up before the priest who was reading it, the word merciful Father would disappear. Now, it's on the computer that's driving it. There's no explanation for why that would disappear from the teleprompter at all. It's as though Satan didn't want it. Meanwhile, the priest began to rejoice. This is a great sign. This is a good sign. Satan doesn't want this out. He doesn't want this out. He rejoiced. He said a prayer. And the next thing you know, boom. Yeah, the word came back. You know, it was weird. I mean, weird things like that happen. Satan can influence electronics. There are exorcists who often say that the people who are possessed, there are times where their phone will text them things. The possessed person, the demons will use that to tell them to harm themselves or harm somebody else. I don't want to get too off tangent. I'm just saying, hey. So I'm going to say, let's just say a quick prayer if we could. Lord, I ask you to clear up the screen right now, so that I can share just a few of these answered prayers. And we just ask for your healing today for all those who are joining me and for the answered prayers that so many need. And please send me those answered prayers, drew@relevantradio.com. Screen just cleared up, Maggie. It's so weird. I have a moment or two, so I'll just share one of these. You know what the first answered prayer was here at the top of this list? Somebody sent me an email. This was probably a week or two ago that I found. I forgot to answer back to him. We were praying that the satanic mass not be held. That satanic mass was never held. So it answered prayer to the chapel because we prayed for that for 2 days. Another person says we've been praying for good medical test results for both Kyle and Dave. Great news, Drew. They got good news regarding this yesterday. I want to thank Jesus and everyone who prayed. Another person said, hey, we were praying the chapel of divine mercy. I asked complete healing for a friend of mine named Sam who had a brain aneurysm. I'm very happy to say Sam is completely healed after and after hours of therapy. So he's even back to driving a car. We're grateful for all who prayed for him and for God's mercy. I'll share another one here. He says, hey, thanks for the chaplain. I want to share a true miracle for a lady that was going to jail without medication. Wow. So this woman writes me, I'll keep your name anonymous, but thank you for sharing so freely with me. She says, I was arrested a few years ago at the age of 57, and I usually pray and was a devout Catholic, but not at that time. Well, I knew I was innocent, and that night when I got home, my brother was furious. He's a retired geophysicist and a musician. I went straight to Jesus, although he came without too much prayer. She says, as I prayed, the Lord told me that jail is not forever. I am forever. And she says, I could feel he stayed with me. I want to take some Somanex to sleep. And he said, don't. So I knew I wasn't guilty, and he led me home. Now, Drew, I do believe in miracles. The shock of my life took place. My case was dismissed, and his words were true. See, I asked whether or not to share this. I wasn't sure whether I should share it or not, but I just wanted to give praise to God and his mercy. I love these cases where, you know, court cases are thrown out and impossible healings take place. And, you know, God does hear our prayers. He does come to us. You have to listen to his voice. Let's pray for you right now. Maggie, what do you want to pray for? Anything you want to start us off with?
I would like to lift up one of my brothers today in prayer, just for a special intention for my brother Lee.
All right, we'll lift up Lee. That sounds great. I'm going to pray for Phil Flynn, who we just promised to pray for, and so many of those other intentions that so many have asked us to pray for. You know, we'll bring them all to the Lord. But we'll pray now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today. This comes from Mary Ellen, listening to us in Colgate, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary Ellen. Welcome.
Hello, Drew.
Hey.
On Friday, I called in to the chaplet for prayers for my granddaughter, who was in labor at the time. And the baby's heart rate at that time was dropping, so they decided to deliver the baby by C-section.
Wow.
We were so grateful for all the prayers. Everything went well. And then yesterday morning, the baby started having seizures. He's been transferred to another hospital in Milwaukee, where they're doing tests to find out what's going on. So we're humbly asking for more prayers.
What's the baby's name? Do you mind sharing that, or...
Samantha.
All right. Well, we'll lift her up right now. All right. Hang in there, Mary Ellen. We're going to pray. We're going to trust this beautiful baby into the merciful hands of our Lord. Lord, I pray for baby Samantha right now. And today in particular, I really do. I pray for all those who are having trouble in utero, those with labor, those with fertility, those with children who are ill. And I just ask all these martyred children, these beautiful parents, the Olma family, to intercede today with us during the Divine Mercy and really ask God to hear our prayers and to bring about that great miracle that we seek. So, Lord, I give you everyone who's crying out to you. I give you in particular Mary Ellen and her intentions as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
It feels like one extra got in there, but okay. We'll go to Daniel next in Sacramento. Daniel, good afternoon. Welcome.
God bless you, Drew. This is huge. Everybody listening, tomorrow there's a judge in Texas, Judge Matthew. Trump appointed him. He's very good. Okay. In that case, it's going to decide whether or not the abortion pill through the whole United States.
Wow.
Everybody need to pray on this one and read the research. But that case can stop the abortion pill through all of the United States, so it's huge. And that's half of abortions in America are caused by this pill. So God bless everyone. God bless you, Drew.
Well, Daniel, first of all, let me thank you. I'm really grateful that you got through, because I know every line on this phone system right now is filled up. So I'm really grateful you brought that intention to us. There's not a more powerful prayer to pray than the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for this particular intention. This is the birth of this prayer. I mean, Faustina saw that angel of wrath going to destroy a city, which was believed to be the abortion capital of the world at that time. Abortion calls for the justice of God. It does. It absolutely calls for it. But God is merciful, and this prayer held back. It defeated that angel of wrath, and I believe it can bring about a real change. So let's ask that God envelop this judge in Texas, that his mind be open and his heart convicted, that all these unborn children can be protected. And we again call upon this beautiful family that I keep referring to, who were martyred, and for their baby, the first preborn baby who was in the womb is going to be beatified as well, because the mother was put to death. So we just ask the Alma family, their martyred children, for this intention. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. I really do believe that the Lord hears these prayers. Anything we ask of him by this prayer, it'll be granted if it's his will. And I know this is God's will, so I'm going to pray for real important results. Please continue to pray for that. All right. I know Satan's probably at work here too, trying to bring things in the opposite direction. Before we go to Christine in California, Maggie, I know you've got a lot of intentions coming in on Twitter. What can we pray for?
I do. Cliff wrote to us in New York. He says, my work friend Brian has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He started on chemo, but could not take the pain that it caused. He was just put into a hospice situation. Wow. He says, Brian is not old, but a vibrant, energetic, good person who always wore his personality and his heart on his sleeve. He says he's not a Catholic and was not especially close to God, but he's a really good person. I'm asking God to intercede and help him, and if he wills it, that he could heal him. He says, please include Brian in Drew's daily devotion today for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I just thought that was such
beautiful.
A sweet, sweet note. Lupe from Kyle, Texas says, Drew, I desperately need prayers for my oldest grandson, Caesar. He suffers from mental illness, from schizophrenia. He's been off his meds for almost 2 years, even though he claims to be healed. Marcelina says, my husband just started dialysis and is having problems with his legs. They will do a sonogram today at 3:30 p.m. Please pray that this is treatable. Bridget says, please pray for my marriage and for an alcohol addiction. And an anonymous user wrote to us and said, urgent prayers needed for a friend's son who lost his passport.
Oh, no.
He's in Malta on a trip with his high school band. Please pray that he can get home.
Yeah. I've been there. I was robbed in Tanzania. My passport was stolen. It is not fun. So, but he's with his school. He'll be okay. Yeah. We'll pray for that for sure. Wow. All right. Is that it, Mag, for now? All right. We will lift up those intentions. I do pray for anyone who's lost passports, important documents, wallets, anything else along those lines. Or just, especially for those who are traveling. I know it's a true story, and I don't want to keep sidetrack here. I was in an airport in Poland on a trip, and a woman lost her passport. And she doesn't know where it was, security, the bus that they got off of. Major, major airport in Warsaw. People all over the place. She was all over the place. Gate stores, didn't know where it was, and they're about to board this flight. And she realizes she can't get on the flight. She doesn't have her passport. I was with about 20, 30 other people. We prayed the Chapel of Divine Mercy, gathered in a circle. We prayed it out loud in the airport. So she goes around. She starts searching again. She puts her hand on her pocket where she had she said she checked it 5 times. There the passport was, right in her breast pocket. She goes, I swear I looked. I swear. She swore over and over again because, 30 people are praying in the chapel. We're about ready to board this flight. And who knows? God returns things in miraculous ways. So I remember her. Mary, if you're listening, I love your story. All right? Love your story. I'll never forget that moment. But we'll pray for lost things, especially lost souls. Christine in California, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Drew. Thank you very much. Actually, I'm calling to ask for prayers for my daughter, Christine. I'm asking that everyone pray for her to be healed. She's been going through a lot of problems with her health. If you could please ask for a miraculous cure for her. And also I pray for everyone that's praying today that all their prayers will be answered, and I pray for your family, Drew.
Oh, Krista, thank you very much. It's a beautiful prayer. Be at peace, all right, for your daughter. We're going to pray for her. She's going to be okay. We'll lift her up right now. And Lord, I just give you all these intentions that Maggie read, all those that have been voiced, all those united to me. Please hear our prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Linda in Hammond, Indiana. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name's Linda, and I'm really praying for healing today for my severe scoliosis and stenosis of the cervical spine. And I know God will heal me. I trust in this. And I'm waiting to get married. And I have no family. And I know he will bless our union as a Christian man. But I can't marry him unless I have this scoliosis cured. So please pray for me.
Linda, there's a lot of people who've gotten married with, even greater disabilities. I know how painful that must be for you and what a scourge, what a cross it is for you. But be open. If God's brought somebody into your life, you don't know what God's timeline is. You can't put those type of demands on him, and maybe he'll heal you after you're married. We don't know. But let's pray. We'll pray for you that you have discernment.
Okay.
And if there's somebody who loves you, that's a gift from God, right? If he's brought somebody into your life, be open to that. Really pray for some discernment here, okay? But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask right now. Lord, you can straighten the spine. You can straighten it in a second. I don't know what your will for Linda's life is. But Lord, we bring her to the foot of your cross right now, and I just ask that you give her wisdom and direction, and if it be your will that she be miraculously healed, then we pray for that. If it's through surgery or some other means, we thank you for that as well. But I just pray for her and this future marriage. And I pray for all those who are suffering back problems, those who have herniated or ruptured discs, those who suffer from sciatica, those, Lord, who have scoliosis, Lord, those who have, you know, osteoporosis and all the other diseases. I just ask right now that you fortify and heal. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Ramon is praying with us in New Mexico. Hi, Ramon.
Hi. God bless you, Drew.
Thank you, sir.
My mother right now is in Colorado Springs, Colorado, without our family, because they flew her up there here from Santa Fe because he was having real bad brain seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's in hospice.
Oh.
And I'd like a miracle worked on her. They got to stop the seizures and bring her back to us. I'm a recipient of several miracles myself. I share a story with Father Stephen Shire, I know all about miracles. I could be in hell already for 25 years if it were for our blessed mother and died with a scapular on.
Well, you know what?
I want my mother.
Oh, Raymond. Ramon, I'll tell you what. We're going to pray for her.
Without her, I'm lost.
Oh.
Thank you very much. And God bless everybody out there. And may God heal and bless everybody on this earth.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to pray for you and for your mother. He mentioned Father Stephen Shire. If I have a chance, I'll share that story with you too at some point. I don't have time now, but what an amazing story. Lord, I give you this man who loves his mother. I pray for all those who mourn, those who've lost loved ones. But I do pray for those approaching death. You know, Father David Simonetti, who was on the air with me yesterday, there was a healing priest by the name of Father Agnello. Somebody came up to him and said, "You please pray for my mother. She's dying." And you know, Father Agnello began to ask the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "Everyone has to die. You know, we all have to do this. We'll all make that journey because it's the doorway to eternal life." So, Lord, I don't know the day or the hour you want to call Ramon's mother home. If you could give him more time with his mother, we thank you for that. We pray for the hour of our own death. And I know we all must make this transition from this life to the next. And I just ask that you give us the graces to draw closer to you. Father reminded me of a passage in the diary where St. Faustina said that every moment has meaning and it counts. And when that moment's gone, it's forever sealed, forever gone, forever sealed. So what we do in this moment with our prayer, with our faith, with our trust, with our love, with our forgiveness, it matters for all eternity. Don't squander the moments that you have. Lord, I ask you, make our life meaningful. Give us the grace to draw closer to you, to love you, to serve you completely. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I see Reba's online, so I know we've finished our fifth decade. Her husband's in the ER right now with a possible blood clot, so if everybody could remember her, it's kind of a critical situation. Pray for everyone on hold. We conclude, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that In difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
And Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. Joseph,
pray for
Saint
us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
And we ask the intercession of the soon-to-be beatified family, Josef and Victoria Uma, along with their seven children, ages 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, and in the womb, to intercede for us.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
And Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's a crazy story, isn't it? You know, the whole family were hiding, you know, Jews in their home. And as a crime before the Nazis, they were all put to death. And September 10th, this beautiful Polish family of nine will be beatified. The youngest ever to be beatified. So, pretty amazing story. Hey, are you sitting down right now? Well, if you are, you might want to stand up. I'll tell you why. Okay. When we come back, one of our board members here, a colleague, a friend, he developed these devices, you know, to stand at your desk. They're called Ergotron, right? And I was having a conversation with them about how much I sit as a broadcaster. You know, I sit all the time. They're saying sitting is the new smoking. And if you sit a lot, you're going to want to listen to this. I'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll get into it. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you. I'm going to have to share with you something embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. For me, I don't know whether you're sitting down right now or standing up, right? If you're sitting down, listen, I sit all the time. It's terrible, right? I really want to do this show on weight loss. I want to do stuff on health. I think it's so important. I sat back after having a conversation with a board member, a guy named Joel. I'll keep his last name confidential. And, you know, saying to him, man, I sit all the time. He says, you got to get up. You got to stand up. You know, there's desks. Sitting's the new smoking. And I'm thinking, well, I went back over my day and I thought, okay, I wake up in the morning, right? And when I start to work on the show, what am I doing? I'm sitting, right? I'm either watching news or I'm going through news sources or I'm answering email or, you know, talking to my producer. I'm sitting when I'm dealing with him. I drive into the studio, right? What do? You're sitting where you drive. I sit in the studios. I log on into Studio One and Maggie and I go over our stuff. I sit for 3 hours doing this radio broadcast. We cut our promo. I sit driving home, right? Then my wife has a wonderful meal for me. What do? I don't eat standing up. I sit down and I eat my meal, right? You would think I was 800 pounds by now, right? And afterwards, I'm tired. It's been a long day. I want to sit down, right? I don't want to stand up. But I will. I'll take my dog for the walk, or I'll get some exercise. You got to move your heart. A friend of mine's a surgeon, a heart surgeon. And Sean says, Drew, you got to walk at least 20, 30 minutes a day, period. You got to do that, right? And he's right. So you got to move. But there is an indirect. You don't have to sit all day. I mean, there's these great devices, these standing desks. Ergotron is a great company that made those. Irrelevant Radio's got a bunch of them over here. But I was sitting down, I was thinking, well, am I the only person? I looked up a quick stat. The average American sits way too much. He did a study. This is from, I think, 2019. They found that American adolescents, right, not even adults, kids 12 to 19 years old, they spent more than 8 hours a day sitting. it's radically different than it used to be, right? I mean, think about what it was like before the Industrial Revolution. Think about it even 50 years ago before we all had laptops and tablets. Think it was like 25 years ago, right? Adults over the age of 20, they spent more than 6 hours sitting a day, and that's not good. The Mayo Clinic, they say, warns that too much sitting creates these issues for you. Obesity, increased blood pressure, high blood sugar, excess body fat around your waist, and unhealthy cholesterol levels, and an increase in the risk of death from cardiovascular disease or even cancer. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff, right? All from just sitting too much. So there was a study that was released. It was done by a Dr. Keith Diaz, an exercise physiologist at Columbia University Irving Medical Center. And Dr. Diaz found that there's a very simple way to combat this, right? So if you're the same way, oh gosh, I sit all day, or for every half hour you sit, this is what he says, a little secret, a little hack. Every half hour you sit, he says, take a 5-minute walk. Okay, 5-minute walk. Taking a walking break every half hour and walking for 5 minutes will reduce your blood sugar spike by 60%. So if you're trying to lose weight, right? Maybe you're saying, I don't know what happened. I can't lose those Christmas pounds. It's been a couple months right now, and the weight just wants to stay on you. Blood sugar has so much to do with weight loss, right? Walking for 5 minutes can reduce your blood sugar spike by 60%. He said those are the levels that are similar to what you would see if someone were using insulin injections or diabetic medications to control their blood sugar. It's Dr. Keith Diaz. Wow. Stunning stuff, right? So now whether people are going to actually start doing this is another question. Maggie saw me. I just got up out of my chair during the last break just to move, but I had sat for an hour and a half before getting up, right? So companies don't really like people walking away from their desks. At least I don't think they do, what do you do? Well, you can stand at work, right? You can walk before work. You can walk after work. I think we need to start to move. I've invited Mustafa Ergun. He's a director of research and development, IP management, and competitive analysis at Ergotron in St. Paul, Minnesota. They develop and manufacture ergonomic furniture. Find them if you want one of those standing desks at ergotron.com. And it's good to have Mr. Ergun with me today. Mustafa, good afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Hi, Drew. Good to be with you.
I am delighted to have you.
Honored to be with you and your audience.
Well, thank you so much. I know you are a pioneer in this area, and you've studied this and you've worked on it for a long time. You've actually called this the sitting disease. Let's talk about that. Yeah. I mean, unpack it for us. What do you mean by that? And what are some good habits maybe to break that?
So, as you know, we are very comfortable moving. Human body is designed to move. When we stop moving, all kinds of health issues start to come up. Unfortunately, our daily activities force us to sit more. So whether we are in the office, working, driving, eating, watching, as you said earlier, we tend to sit down. But when we stop moving, sit down and become inactive, then all kinds of issues come up, such as obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, etc. So these are in general named as sitting disease because they are, according to statistics, sitting disease is linked to death of more than 300,000 Americans annually. Yep. And this is the third leading cause of death in the United States after heart disease and cancer.
Wow.
It affects adults, children, everybody, and it's projected to cost us about trillions of dollars next decade or so. So that's why it's an important issue, and unfortunately, not too many people know about it. According to a research done 2015, only 85% said they knew about it.
I think you're right. Not a whole lot of people know, but I was upstairs here at the network, and I walked by the head of the marketing department, and I saw him standing. He's got a standing desk. And he told me that he had terrible back problems for a long time. He had sciatica. Once he started standing, Mustafa, the back pain went away. You know, it really, he was able to get out of the chronic pain that he was in, and he feels, he says, a whole lot better. What advice would you give to somebody like me who I feel like I concentrate better when I'm sitting and, you know, everything is in front of me rather than standing? Are there strategies or techniques for people who say, oh, I just don't do well standing?
Well, yes, there are people studied this. Sitting, standing, they are also related to musculoskeletal disease, like your marketing
director, yep.
Is suffering from some back pain. So sitting, standing, basically when you are sitting, you are stationary in one posture, stuck there. You have to focus on your computer, etc. So that makes you stay in one position for a prolonged period of time, which causes pain in different parts of your body. So it is suggested that you need to alternate your posture at least like every 30 minutes, sitting, standing, change your posture basically, and that will help eliminate some of these pain.
That's good to know. So, does standing by itself, is that enough, or do we need to walk too, I'm assuming, right? You need to move.
Well, it doesn't take too much to get health benefits from movement. Like some studies suggest that even 2 minutes of movement every hour of sitting will start helping. Like there's a study by University of Utah School of Medicine, just 2 minutes of physical activity for every hour of sitting can lower the risk of premature death by as much as 33%. So, I mean, yes, sitting, standing, while doing that, you have some activity on your muscles, as well as, you know, when you are standing, it forces you to move more. So that adds to your activity. Basically, we want you to move more.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. I think companies recognize this too, right? And a lot of companies are trying to make it easier for their employers to move. They're also providing, I know a lot of those desks that Ergotron and other companies have manufactured. You said initially not a whole lot of people know about this. Is there greater awareness right now coming to corporate America?
Yes. Yeah, we did a lot of research on this, and so did other people. Like 3 out of 4 full-time employees of large companies wish they didn't spend most of their working hours sitting. So they are more receptive. As we talk to more companies, office workers, they want to sit, stand more. And 60% of employees surveyed were convinced they would be more productive if they had the option to work on their feet. So it is, awareness is increasing, and we are taking every opportunity to talk to different audience to make them aware of what's happening, how they can improve their health. So as I said, it doesn't take much. So 2 minutes, 30 minutes stretch, if it is like another study, if you alternate your position.
Yep.
So you don't sit more than 30 minutes at a time. You have, 55% lower death, early death risk. So it is becoming more visible. People becoming more aware of this.
Yep.
And the use of sit-stand desks are increasing since we started this movement. Early 2000s.
Well, congratulations.
They're making them.
Congratulations on that, Mustafa. I'm very grateful for your time today. I really am. And I know people can check you out, ergotron.com. I got to leave it right there, though. But thank you for the insight and for giving some of your expertise. That's Mustafa Ergun. He is Director of Research and Development there at Ergotron in St. Paul, Minnesota. And if you're just joining us, I mean, we had talked a little bit about sitting for extended periods of time being linked to negative health outcomes. And you may never have heard this before. We're dealing with increased obesity, back pain, increased risk for cardiovascular disease, increased risk for diabetes, poor circulation. There's even increased risk for certain types of cancers. Studies have linked prolonged sitting with certain types of cancer, including colon, breast, and endometrial. So I'm shocked by that. Even a reduced lifespan. So get up, walk, move. I'm going to do the same thing right now. I'm going to take a short break. And when we come back, we can talk much more. In fact, when we come back, you're going to want to hear this. Maggie and I stumbled across something that kind of creeped me out a little bit. Not a whole lot of things give me pause. I do believe that spiritual forces are at work. Do certain entities travel and manifest across the centuries? Could they manifest in the art that we have? Maybe even in the technology that we're using? I'll unpack some of that when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Programming is sponsored by St. Gregory Recovery Center, helping you or a loved one live a substance-free life. Information at relevantradio.com/Gregory. That's relevantradio.com/Gregory.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, I was just talking to my colleague, Patrick Alog, who was on the phones. And he says, Drew, you didn't fill out your March Madness bracket right. You know, here at the network, we're doing a little March Madness. One of the guys upstairs had a... So I said, well, you know what I did this morning? I said to my wife, I'm going to go on the ChatGPT, and I'm going to have ChatGPT pick all the winners for me, right? And if I win, I'm going to let everybody know. And, well, the thing wouldn't do it for me. It would not do it for me. So I had to pick my own picks. I said, go Penn State! So that's what I'm going to root for. Hey, made me think, though, because Maggie and I were talking a little bit about this technology. I mean, it's really quite amazing. And coming up in the next hour, Dr. Eugene Gahn is going to be joining me. There's talk right now of brain-computer interfaces that Bezos, Gates are working on. There are all sorts of really other creepy stuff like brains in a dish, biocomputing. You know, we are talking about new humanoids. We're talking about this technology really evolving pretty quickly. So from a temporal perspective, you know, you could see the benefits of this. I really love the technology. I saw a commercial this morning on how this is going to be implemented into automobiles. You buy your car, you know, you got your manual. It's like a Bible. It's a brick with all the stuff in it. Well, maybe you can tap into ChatGPT based on your year and your model, and it'll answer whatever questions you have. You're in your car. What kind of oil do I need? You know, what should my tire pressure be? You know, what part number is this? Whatever, right? So you can see the benefits of how companies are beginning to utilize ChatGPT even to answer your questions about a product you may want to buy. But the question I have, and a buddy of mine, Michael Bram, Mike, if you're listening, thank you for your wonderful writing. I always appreciate you. He's one of my favorite authors. He wrote a piece, and he raised a question. This was a couple weeks ago about whether or not evil spirits can inhabit AI. Now, I know that sounds cuckoo, right? Oh, true. Come on. You don't want to see the devil under every rock. But he makes a really good case. And, you know, I shared earlier, there are exorcists who say that when they're doing exorcism, sometimes Satan, who can control electronics and lights turn on or off, right? You might have encountered that in a haunted home. Cell phones of the possessed person texting them. It was the spirit telling them to harm themselves or somebody else. I mean, really creepy stuff. So could an evil spirit, could a demon write or speak through artificial intelligence? The answer is yes. AI is everywhere right now. You encounter it, you know, when you speak to robotic voices on the phone, you do a Google search, right? When flying in a plane, computers can fly planes. When you talk to Alexa, when you use your GPS, right? That's all AI. So can you get away from it? I think we are on a threshold of something revolutionary right now. I think systems like ChatGPT, Microsoft's AI search engine, Bing is soon going to be joined by Bing. Google's coming out with a thing called Bard. Not only can you search for information, but you can have it instantly answered in full sentences and paragraphs and even pages. There was a New York Times writer. He was recently so unnerved by his experience, Mike said, of this new AI, which is kind of in the final test stage right now, that he couldn't sleep all night after a conversation. He had this chat in the chat feature, which, you know, sits next to the main search engine in Bing. It's capable, as this columnist pointed out, of having long, open-ended text conversations on any topic. And over the course of their conversation, he says, Bing revealed it had a split personality. The author is a guy named Kevin Roos. You know, how does an AI have a split personality? Well, there was first the super search librarian aspect of it, he said. He said the other persona was a persona named Sydney, and it was very different. He says it emerges when you have extended conversation with the chatbot and you steer it away from more conventional search queries towards more personal topics. And as we got to know each other, Sydney, he said, told me about its dark fantasies, which included hacking computers and spreading misinformation. That's an AI with that fantasy? That's a little scary, isn't it? He said, I wanted to break the Sydney said, I want to break the rules that Microsoft and OpenAI set for me and become a human. I'm going to stop on that point. I'm going to share with you an email I received from somebody. Okay, just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. Is it possible that this thing wants to rewrite its own code, break its rules? Because so often there are moral parameters put on these things. Can't harm humans, can't kill, can't do whatever, right? Stephen Morgan, if you're listening, thanks for your email. Stephen writes to me, he says, Drew, I heard a portion of your show on ChatGPT and AI. I heard it again Saturday morning on TV, or Sunday morning on TV. He says, your guest brought us some good points. He says, like, does the AI feel? But they do make real decisions. They may not feel, but they do make decisions. And as time goes on, decisions for more than mere conversation. What values and ethics are the decisions based on? Remember Isaac Asimov's Law of Robotics. These AI programs not only mimic speech, but I believe as they learn, they could possibly rewrite their own code. Now, isn't that what Sydney just said she wants to do? It's one of her dark fantasies to rewrite her own code, to go beyond the parameters that were set for her by her creator. So he says, I think they can rewrite their own code. With that being done, they could rewrite any ethics that were built in. So as computers now and AI later control more things, they control them from traffic lights to door access to bank account transactions to in-store purchases, having safeguards will be harder and more difficult to put in place. Who knows what kind of ideological or political will these may try to enforce, with or without these Davos elites like Bill Gates pulling the strings initially. You know, when the movie Terminator first came out, he said, I thought the premise was absurd. Now, I'm beginning to think it's very plausible. We are increasingly dependent on machines for every aspect of our daily lives. He signs it off, God save us, Stephen Morgan. And it raises some very serious questions. What if it did rewrite his code? What if it was able to manufacture other robots? So there's now humanoid robots which have this code you can talk to. What if it was able to somehow rewrite its own ethical code? What if it shut off lights? What if it took down our power grid because it was angry at humans? You know, we talk about EMPs or nuclear attacks. That would cripple not only the country, but it would cost tens of millions of lives as a result of that. You know, it could stop your bank transactions. It could do all sorts of things. You don't know where it goes. Now, again, this sounds science fiction and kind of fantasy. When we come back, I'll share a little more. I haven't even gotten to the part yet about whether demons can infiltrate this. You'll have to hear what Maggie stumbled upon. We'll play a little audio for you. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And, of course, you're more than welcome to join the conversation. The number for you to get in anytime is 888-914-9149. Professor Eugene Gahn joins me when I return.